He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, joined on this fine, well, Labor Day, joined on the Monday, the tail end Monday of a long weekend here. Oh, actually, it's a fun place to start. Do you guys prefer having your holidays start with a day off on Friday or end with a day off on Monday? I'll start with you, Brian, since
I think Monday is far and away the superior day off if you're framing the week. I don't even think it's close. Yeah. And I think if anybody disagrees, they are so wildly wrong that I question their judgment in many areas. Like, this isn't even close to me.
Andy? Honestly, for me, the days blend in and blur in so much together. You could tell me that the holiday was on a Wednesday. I really wouldn't know the difference.
But also, too, you have to remember Andy has a lot of Saturday and Sunday commitments because for sports media. So, his day off might be like a Tuesday. So,
yeah. I'm much prefer Mondays, even though I have to do stuff over the weekend. Like, I would just, it's so much nicer because Monday is the worst day of the week, right? Everybody agrees about that. So if you make your worst day of the week an extension of your weekend, you have thus improved statistically the rest of the week in ways where, like, Fridays, nobody honestly works that hard on a Friday. You're like looking at the clock to leave the office at 12:30. You know, you start looking over there and I wonder what I could get away with this time. Nobody makes meetings, or no decent human being makes meetings for Fridays. You know, but you can basically just answer a few emails and consider that a productive day. I don't really worry too much about having a Friday off. It's at that point, it's like I usually have them off. So, I'm a Monday guy. I prefer to have Mondays off.
Note to the folks at Clutch Points, you're not working. Anthony's not working on Fridays. If you're paying him for Fridays, you might want to stop.
Oh, no. He's billing Clutch Points.
Right.
Like that doesn't change. Look, until they start complaining that they're not getting what they want, it's none of their business whether Anthony's actually nose to the grindstone or not. If the content is good, the content's good. Clutch Points, stay out of Anthony's business, respectfully.
Exactly.
Sorry, I just got you fired.
I'm not going to agree or disagree with any of the assertions made over the last 30 seconds. We'll go ahead and start the podcast and hope nobody from Clutch Points is watching. This is part one of a home and home. We do these fairly regularly, especially in the off season when we all are trying to help each other get through this last month of the off season. But this is a home and home podcast. And in this one, I'm going to be opening up the mailbag. I'll be sending some questions out to Andy and Brian here. And then I would imagine at least a topic will come up that maybe we expand on a little bit on Locked On Lakers, which we are going to record right after we're done with this one. I don't believe you do those live though, right? So that's just going to be a...
Sometimes, but
we sometimes do. I don't think the hour that we're going to be recording, we're going to do it live just because it tends not to be our peak traffic hours, and our peak traffic hours would be very...
Not September.
Well, it's not even that. I'm talking literal time of day.
Yeah.
It's later in the day, and for somebody 2 hours ahead of us, that is a really unfair ask of you. Like, if you want to wait around, we're more than willing to let you, but I wouldn't advise it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm down for whatever. You guys are helping me, I'll help you guys. So if you guys want to go live, we can go live. If you guys want to just record it, we can just record it, and it will air when it airs. I asked Twitter for some questions. We got some good questions there from those of you who are watching live. drop a question in the comment section and I will go ahead and get to whichever ones that I see there. Reminder also, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you guys happen to be watching. If you're on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there. And then listen to the show however you choose to do so, whatever podcast app that you prefer. I prefer Odyssey because I'm a company man. But if you guys prefer any of the other ones, you can stick with that. Just hit that subscribe button. Another reminder for these mailbag episodes, the best way to get your topic covered on the show is to leave it in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes. And I get to all of those. I have not missed one of those in years, dating back to when I was hosting Locked On Lakers. It was a trick that I played there on iTunes to help us in the algorithm.
I 100% thought you were going to end that sentence with the best way to get your question read on the show is to include it in a sack of cash.
Well, that's the second best way. If you leave a super comment,
I was going to say to some degree, chance. The super comments are basically a polite way to ask for a sack of cash, but you do get something out of it. Like you are not just giving Anthony money just to give him money. You're getting your question directly answered and you get to hear your name, which is really fun. And you get to hear the winning time sounder, but make no mistake. You are actually giving Anthony a small sack of cash.
It's donut money.
Yeah. No. I mean, you can use it. It can be drug money, man. You can do whatever you want with it. It's your money. I'm just saying, like, so people understand it is a very palatable small bag of cash.
Somebody, by the way, the anti-Anthony crew is going to clip that little bite of you saying it's donut money. And then now it's over for you.
Miles is donut money. I do breakfast.
Nope, that part's not going to get clipped. Just the part where it's your donut money.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, it's probably also not great. I was working out a little bit. So my face is a little glazy too. So,
you look good.
Fantastic. But if you guys don't leave a super comment, that means Miles doesn't get donut money. So
you should have told everybody,
guys.
You should have told everybody I was working out today and it was cheek day. I look like this.
Yeah. All right. We will go ahead and dive on in. And the first question that we got here, I'm not going to go in order that I got them because there's a question here that I thought is phenomenal. I think it's one of those rare September questions that I haven't really thought of before. So at Bruno Corral or Coral writes, how much do you think KD's backlash from joining the Warriors has impacted stars changing teams nowadays? I think that if it was 2014, Giannis would have been gone already. I'll just start with this. I think, the backlash to KD is one thing. That was really unique to the situation, though, because they had just lost in the playoffs. I think actually the bigger backlash the backlash that will impact these decisions a lot more is actually Damian Lillard. And it's not even that he faced backlash. Everybody was fine with him leaving. It just worked out so poorly. And like his big thing was, being loyal to Portland. He went back to Portland, which I think is a smart career decision as well. But I think for these stars who have, gone out of their way over the years to just keep trying to create the best situation for themselves by way of leaving, I do think that takes away some of that. The way that their career would look otherwise. Brian, what do you think about is this backlash thing a real thing? Do you think it's a very online concept? Because I think that might also be a possibility here. Twitter isn't a real place. Where do you stand on this one?
I don't know why Lillard certainly doesn't deserve any backlash for what.
He didn't
do anything. I mean, the part that I find interesting about the Lillard thing is the CYA from Giannis, so that when he's like, I did not tell, because this puts Milwaukee, but they're essentially paying Miles Turner like $65 million a year. And I love Miles Turner. I wish Miles Turner was a Laker. Andy and I have spent a lot of time on that, but Miles Turner is not a $65-70 million player. He's not, and he's going to become less that with every passing year. So like, I think Giannis wanted to make it very clear, like all those initial, like, I didn't ask them to do it. Giannis is unhappy with them doing that to Dame and all. It's just so that Bucks fans know, I didn't tell them to do that when I leave in 2 years. Like, if I decide to go. So I think I find I like the reactions to these sorts of things. And yeah, the market generally, I don't know if I'm necessarily answering the question properly, but like the market generally for the automatic max, I think is going to shift radically.
Yes.
I don't think, you know, this idea like, well, you know, and we've seen it with like James Harden, for example, like, you know, well, he's Clippers just gonna let get Paul the money George walk
for nothing. Yeah. That never happened.
And are better off because of it.
Absolutely.
So I just think the entire market around stars, this is why the Lakers are so lucky to have been able to reset the clock with Luka, who's going to come up for, you know, his gigantic extension, not like the pocket change he's making now in not 2 years.
Money,
yeah. And he still won't be 30 yet. you know, that's also donut money.
not anymore. Yeah.
I mean, they're lucky to be paying him when he's under 30. Like I wouldn't want to give Anthony Davis an extension.
Yeah. That was going to get awkward. I think the Lakers knew too, based on some of Jeannie's comments after the fact, it was kind of like, yeah, we were getting ready for that one.
Well,
that's
a point I've made a lot, Anthony. Cause like, I think the interview Jeannie did, and I think she recognized that she said a little too much when she talked about AD complaining about his role.
Yeah.
And, you know, wanting to play power forward and not wanting to play center. And then she backtracked on some of those later on, because I think she recognized like, oh, that was a little much. I don't think, to be clear, I do not think Anthony Davis complained his way out of L.A. He is a maverick because the Lakers had the opportunity to bring in a generational superstar who's like 5 to 6 years younger and better. Like, that's why AD's in Dallas. But, and this was something that I sensed, you know, we talked about on Locked On Lakers for a while, like a big talking point of mine personally. I think the Lakers, and this was revealed in Jeannie's comments about AD, I think they recognized they were not going to be able to make Anthony Davis happy, because the thing that he really wants, which is not just like a better backup center or like better, you know, like a better solid center on the roster. He wanted the quality of center that would justify moving him to the four where he wants to be. He's not as good. And when you're already spending that type of money on Anthony Davis, an elite center, I mean, there are very few things that I've been lockstep in saying 100% the front office is right. This is one of them. Like, the idea of spending another $40 to $50 million at least to bring in a center that would justify moving Anthony Davis, one of the three or four best centers in the league, to the four, that is god awful salary cap management. And I think they recognized AD was not going to be made happy. I think Dallas is going to realize what AD wants is not what's best for the team or, frankly, Anthony Davis. But it's a problem that I think the Lakers recognized and were sensing would end up a stalemate.
Well, by the way, you're also paying LeBron 50-something million dollars, and he's playing his best at the position that you have to slide AD over to. Yeah. And
like, none of this
he would want to be slid over to. So
it drives me crazy when people try to justify any unhappiness or perceived unhappiness, I think some degree actual unhappiness, about LeBron and his station with the Lakers, when they say, like, you know, he and Anthony Davis, or really Anthony Davis and LeBron trying to help him, have been calling for another center for a couple of years. And, you know, the minute Anthony Davis gets traded, they look for Mark Williams. A, it's because they actually traded a center, so they needed a center at that point. And B, you already had Anthony effing Davis. He's one of the best. Like, it makes no sense. I get that AD didn't want to play center. I got to be honest, I don't care. Like, I honestly do not care.
Yeah, like, you could have tried to thread a needle where you get a center who maybe is slightly below average starter, and you make up for his shortcomings by way of having Anthony Davis next to him. And maybe you try to go, like,
But why do all that?
But they're right. There are ways to do it. There are ways to. I think you touched it as Andy finishes his Tommy Lee Jones with Harrison Ford in the Tunnel of the Fugitive. I didn't murder my wife. I don't care.
Don Draper, that's what the money's for.
The problem is, where the LeBron AD combo was such a bind for the team. It's not that those guys aren't good. They are. LeBron finished sixth in MVP voting last year. He's actually too good for the Lakers to be making decisions. Like, part of the problem with LeBron is that he's still too good. All would be much easier if he wasn't as good as he still is. And he's even had the unmitigated gall to be durable over the last 2 years. It's like trolling them even more. But the problem is, like, to what Andy was saying, like, you don't want to put LeBron in a position where he's got to move to the three, especially permanently defensively. Like, you really, if you want to move LeBron around, you want to slide him down and let him play small five, because he's so strong. He can bully around a lot of, the modern skinny fives and do all that. Like, they had nowhere to go. Those two guys were too good to just sort of give up on, because Anthony Davis is probably, when he's playing really well, plays like a top 10 guy. LeBron is still a top 10
guy. They got to the Western Conference Finals in a season where they made a trade, a couple months prior.
And
they were still really good, especially.
They're still really good. It's too good to break up, but it's also really hard to invest in. And then Nico Harrison came. Like an angel,
mana from heaven.
He was now scoot over, KCP. This is real mana from heaven. Fat shaming, fattest Luke Nico Harrison.
Yeah, I don't think he likes the concept of donut money very much. So to kind of get back to the question here, because I think it's interesting. Like, I do kind of wonder if we're going to see more players just kind of stick it out over the courses of their careers. Some of this, Andy or Brian, sorry, you made a really good point about, like, some of these negotiations for those supermax contracts are going to get tougher. So you might see some quote unquote star movement that way. But I would argue if a team is having a negotiation on those contracts, that player is therefore inherently not a superstar. The thing that I would say about, KD specifically here, and I think he knows this to an extent, I think it really bothers him, but there's a comment in here from somebody saying, where is it? Yeah, I can't find it, but essentially KD hasn't won since he was there in Golden State. Didn't win before he got to Golden State either. And when you hold that up, and this guy has since basically traveled the league trying to find the perfect situation to recreate what he left by choice in Golden State and what he left by choice in Oklahoma City, like, he keeps on looking for this perfect situation to prove that he can win without being surrounded by Steph and Clay and all that stuff. I do think there's enough doubt there, and some of these other stars might be looking at it like, well, even if I win that way, it doesn't mean the same thing that it means with a star who wins a championship with the team that drafted him.
I think a lot of this comes down to why you leave and how you leave. Yeah. Like, when KD left OKC, he left a very good team, which he's perfectly allowed to do, and mm-hmm. that's fine. But he joined the one team in the league that didn't need him at all, that just beat his team, which, again, if that's what he wants to do, fine.
Yeah.
But the situations in Brooklyn and then in Phoenix, I think that they have ended up reinforcing the original thought from OKC, that exit, which is, when the going gets tough, KD wants out.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think all of it is entirely fair with Brooklyn or Phoenix, just because there was a lot of mess in both those places that were independent of KD.
And he got really close in Brooklyn. It should also be like, he was a shoe size away from beating Milwaukee.
But I also think it is not unfair to question whether KD really has it in him, whether you want to say intestinally or desire, whatever, to actually lead a team through adversity. You know, like he often describes himself as a hooper. And I've come to think, especially when I hear some of the guys who call themselves hoopers, that's often code for, I just want to play basketball. I want to kick ass on the court and I don't want to do anything else. And somebody has to lead. Somebody like Chris, say whatever you want about Chris Paul, but his teams get better every time he shows up and he's willing to do the uncomfortable shit. Like LeBron. Yeah. LeBron is willing to do the uncomfortable stuff.
I was going to make that comparison. Like one thing, as much as people, Lakers fans included, love to kind of complain about LeBron and the LeBron experience, LeBron gives you the whole deal. LeBron is a culture setter and it's a good culture. He sets the bar high. He does all that stuff. KD is not that. And so if you're going to he's a kind of a disruptor to some of these culture issues because he is so sort of persnickety and moody about so many things. Like I agree with Andy. He doesn't really want to do that. He doesn't want to be responsible for when it doesn't work. And he wants to be able to leave at the drop of a hat. And so, you know, especially now, 27-year-old Kevin Durant was worth all that. You find another culture setter and you build, but 34-year-old Kevin Durant, 35, 30, like
after the Achilles,
still really good. I mean, he's really good. Like KD was excellent last year, but.
And like nobody, I think, would have blamed LeBron, you know, the first time he left Cleveland for leaving Cleveland. It's Cleveland. Everybody tries to get the hell out of Cleveland whenever they have the opportunity.
Right. Like it's Cleveland. It's right there.
Exactly. But the way that he did it with the decision and then the like monster truck pep rally with LeBron, with Wade and Bosch, essentially doubling and tripling down on the bad reaction to the decision, like the not his literal decision, but the show, all of that. Right. I think that's if LeBron had just joined Miami the way Bosch did, for example. Like, I don't think he would have dealt with, I mean, there would have been people looking to detract because there are Jordan gatekeepers out there and they want to make sure nobody threatens MJ's consensus title. Fine, whatever. Like, I don't care about GOAT conversations. They're boring. Yeah. But
it is September.
But like LeBron's style of exit was a big piece of this, as opposed to just the idea that he decided I can't win in Cleveland. Everybody decides they can't win in Cleveland. Like well, that's normal behavior.
Around, like they were such a mess the first time he was in Cleveland. That like that organization was still, you know, it still had the odor of Ted Stepien, you know, like when he was still there. And you know, he goes back and he hates it when anybody makes this point, but I do think there's something to it. He goes to Miami, he works with Pat Riley. He sees how everybody holds everybody to account in Miami and that heat culture is this thing that really matters there. He goes back to Cleveland. He implements some of that stuff in Cleveland. They win a championship. He implements some of that stuff in LA when he gets to LA. They win a championship two seasons later. He says it in there's an excerpt in your own Weitzman's book that I've been reading. And LeBron actually says in that book, you know, by way of a conversation with some other guys, some teammates there, he says, I get to cities, I get the teams, and 2 years later, we win a championship. What happens after that, we'll see. But I get to that market, and that team is rewarded by employing me, by winning a championship in that second season, once I have a chance to kind of build everything that needs to be built around me. Now, again, like I'm not saying he's perfect. I think like the commercial that he just released, is one of the cringiest things I've ever seen. I think he's holding on for dear life you haven't seen it?
No.
He calls himself the Forever King. It's the craziest thing.
Well, I haven't seen that one either.
I'll see if I can grab it.
My daughter would say, is that AI?
I honestly was hoping it was. I was hoping it was fake. I was like watching it. I was like, please. please tell me that this is like something.
Please be a deep fake.
Yeah.
That's basically her code. She's six. Like, so her just sort of code or like general umbrella for things that she sees and doesn't understand or can't piece together is that AI?
Yeah.
It's actually not a bad way to look at it.
Yeah. But yeah, I just think with, you know, LeBron and again, criticisms or qualms aside, I do think that there are conversations that need to be had internally that he is more willing to have than Kevin Durant is.
Yeah.
Steph's the same way. Draymond is very much the same way, right? Like you need these guys in your organization. I think the Lakers have kind of missed a Boogie Cousins or a Jared Dudley or some of those cultures. Like I thought it was pretty clear. Markieff got back there the latter part of last year. And there was a lot of that same stuff that, like, yeah, if there was something that needed to be said, Markieff would just step up and say it. And I think the Lakers kind of need that with LeBron and I think to an extent also with Luka.
I think they're hoping Marcus Smart is going to be that guy.
I think he will. I think he's been in the league long enough to be able to do that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all of that plays out. The Giannis thing is interesting here, right? Like there was some news made that they re-signed Thanasis. And therefore, that means Giannis is definitely going back to Milwaukee, and nobody like pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, right? Like it was kind of funny how it was framed. Look, it's good that he can keep his brother employed. It's good that I think now Thanasis is a pension NBA player, so he gets to benefit from that from here on out. So shouts to nepotism for getting that done. But like I don't know. This doesn't, to me, end the whole year of Giannis thing. It's going to be a thing all season. And that team's books are completely cooked from here on out because of the decision to waive and stretch Damian Oof. Lillard. And if they can't get out of the East, given the abysmal state that the Eastern Conference is in, if I'm Giannis, I'm like, what are y'all doing? How are we still having this conversation here? I think he's also partially responsible for it. There are those whispers that are out there that he doesn't like to run pick and roll. I think that severely limits what kind of offense you can build around Giannis. But end of the day, like this season, there's a reason the Lakers are working their books the way that they're working them and maintaining that flexibility. Miami's doing the same thing. The Clippers are doing the same thing. And I don't think any of those teams look at Milwaukee signing Thanasis and they're like, well, gotta figure out a new plan now.
No, but it may table it at least for a season. I would be surprised if Giannis asks out while his brother is still on the roster. So,
or I mean, he asks out and he's like, hey, can you also trade Thanasis? It's kind of like, I mean, the LeBron
Goran Dragic thing, right? Goran Dragic got Zoran traded with him. So if Goran Dragic can do that with his brother,
Thanasis didn't get like 8 years and, you know, $65 million. He got 1 year.
I'm just saying, I think for at least the short term,
it tables it. He said it maybe tables it for a minute, but like if Giannis wants out, he's going to ask out and like, if, you know, Thanasis is like, what? He's like, dude, I just got you paid. Like nobody was picking you up and I got you an NBA contract for a year, you know, take your million. And
that's not it. I mean, it's more just the idea of, I mean, we were talking before about the perception upon exits. You kind of look like an asshole if you make your team sign your brother who otherwise wouldn't be in the league, then ask for a trade. Like if you care at all about perception, which is where this discussion began, that makes you look like an asshole. Like in the same way, to be honest, LeBron creating too much of a stink makes him look like an asshole when his son's on the team. Like it just does. I'm not saying it would stop him necessarily, but there is a certain amount of PR. Like, really, dude? Like,
Who do you think will get more minutes this year, Bronny or Thanasis?
Bronny.
So like LeBron's less of an asshole in that regard, at least, right? So
I'm not even saying he is an asshole.
Right.
Yeah. I want to make it clear. I'm not saying he is, just in case it gets misinterpreted. I'm not saying that he is. I'm saying if you do that and then bolt, there are going to be people who say, dude, you had them sign, particularly last season when they didn't even have the roster spot to spare. And I mean, that was actually the larger problem than using the 55th pick on Bronny. It was using it on anybody as opposed to signing a, either trading the pick or signing a stash guy in Europe so you could use the spot. They used it on Bronny. And I'm not looking to relitigate it or whatever. I'm just saying, because again,
you can't do that with, and then ask for a trade.
Right. Or you can't do it credibly. I mean, you can, but you can't do it credibly.
All right. Here, I was able to find my crack producer, Fred Irwin, was able to find this commercial, which I'm actually excited for you guys to see this. Actually, I'm gonna put this in a way that we can watch it together, because it is something. It is crazy. I can't believe this was made. All right, here we go. Add to the stage.
They called him the Chosen One. He carried the weight of every expectation on his shoulders, but he never broke. We were all witnesses. Every rival was defeated. Every idol was destroyed. He took the crown and kept it. Behold the greatness. He is the Forever King.
So that's a thing.
It feels like that's a lead up to something else. Like,
yeah, we're doing something else there. Something else.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, is this a retirement thing?
Thing, that video game that he is a spokesperson for, like something? Because that by itself, I'm like, I don't even know what the product is.
Here's the thing. It's not even like...
I hope it's not the crown. I don't think anybody's buying that whack-ass crown.
He's selling crowns.
Where do you wear those?
I'm not gonna lie, I'd kind of respect that if he's actually selling crowns.
It's sort of like the Pharrell hat. Like, you get people to wear it. It's just like
I'm kind of in if actually the product is the crown.
I wish it was a better looking crown. If it was, like,
I have no problem with the look. I feel like this is one of those things where you can actually, if you wanted, like, debate the, like, the content, like the accuracy of the content. It's like, it is sort of amazing that we, like, LeBron has been, if not the best player in the NBA, sort of the face of the NBA, and no worse than like a top seven guy.
Oh, the AI, I think even over that's conservative.
20 years. Like, he is in that sense. This is unprecedented. It's just one of these things. Lucas says, oh God, not these dudes. You know what, Lucas? You can kiss it. Unless you're going to stay here and ask Anthony one of those questions for money, we don't need you here. So
I like the idea that Lucas, like, popped on my channel and was like, ah, Anthony again.
I think he means us, but you're right. If he's surprised at your presence, that's Lucas's fault. Can you call yourself the Forever King, or do you need someone to call you the Forever King? Like, it's better if it's not you or a little girl.
I had two takes, actual honest takes, because it's September and my brain has to think of something. So my first take was, you have to have a pretty spectacular career to have the gall to even put yourself, your face on there with Forever King, right? Like, so the fact that LeBron has had a career where he can feasibly put that on there is pretty incredible. I personally would not have advised him to make this commercial, but like, if this is what he's kind of doing, if this is his like late stage midlife crisis, then okay, then do your thing. My second one is the line from Game of Thrones. If you have to call yourself king, you know, if you have to make a Nike commercial, I mean,
there have been, in fairness to LeBron, there have been a fair amount of people who refer to him as King James or the King. I mean, it's not like all of us are like, wait, King, what's he talking about? Like, what's he referring to? Like, this has stuck around for a while. My big thing is, it feels like there's something, like, this feels like a teaser trailer to, like, the actual trailer of a movie or something like that. Because it's like that by itself. I don't know what the product is.
Yeah.
Unless the product's LeBron, I guess. Yeah. But, like, it's like one of those tests you take where you know, A, B, C, D, D, not enough information given. This felt like D.
All right, let's go ahead and dive into the second question of this mailbag episode. This is from @Bashir_1. The reason we're answering is because he has an image here proving that he is subscribed to the show, unlike Lucas. What would your reaction and assumed Lakers plan be if LeBron left in free agency next summer and the Jokic / Giannis plan failed? So one of the, I think, and I'm sure you guys
have had, a world where Jokic doesn't leave Denver.
As they say, remember in Quiz Show, like, I'll take the second part first. The Jokic-Giannis plan is going
to accept the premise, but it's hard.
But the Jokic-Giannis plan is going to fail. Like, if to the point that if it's that's really the plan, it's an incredibly stupid plan. It's, you know, so that
especially
part of it,
given the advantages that they have this season, you have Luka on a discount, you have Austin on a discount, you have DeAndre. I say what you will about DeAndre Ayton, say what you will about Marcus Smart at this age of his career, both of those guys are on pretty serious discounts. So, like, I was always in the boat of like, there's a good chance you never have a teammate with Luka as good as LeBron anyway. That was my starting point of this offseason. And then now to add on top of that, the advantages that they've created for themselves, this is the season to go for it. So, like, in a way, this is another version of asking a question that has been asked umpteen times over the course of the summer on all of our shows. But this idea of like, is it really all that wise to plan for the chance at Giannis or the chance at Jokic when you have the chance that's sitting right in front of you?
Do we want to answer that question? Because
my big thing is, what are they passing up? Like, I'm not going to get upset with them for not doing the thing that isn't in front of them. Like, I need to know that they have legit opportunities in front of them that would justify using that one first round pick that they currently can include in a trade, that like, it really is something that by any reasonable measure that's worth it. And they're not doing it because they're thinking about like 2027 when they potentially have the opportunity to lock up Giannis from age like 33 to 36, which is just dumb. Like, I've said this before. This plan to me sounds conveniently stupid. Like, and I wonder how much of this is honestly coming from the LeBron side of things, because we never really started hearing a lot about 2027 specifically until after LeBron opted in with the Rich Paul statement that made it very clear he's unhappy about things or questioning things. Then all of a sudden we started hearing about 2027, which again just feels conveniently stupid. But that being said, if that actually really is plan A, I would, again, unless they're not passing up, if they're not passing up on anything really in front of them, then I guess to some degree, what difference does it make? But if that's really plan A and they're passing up opportunities for the 6% chance of getting Giannis or Jokic or even 15%, like, that's, I don't know. I'm off the top of my head. I just think that's terrible. But I need to know that they're actually passing up on things.
Yeah, I never thought that they were going to trade a first-round pick this summer, because Pelinka always likes to go into a season with one first-round pick in his back pocket. And he also tends to usually finish seasons with that first-round pick in his back pocket also, which is kind of a source of frustration. But
or the, like, pocket of his leather jacket.
It's a lot of pockets. There's two zippers. It's a lot of pockets and two zippers. It makes no sense.
He's a jacket king, man.
It goes well with the crown, though, apparently. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, like, I think it's also, it, like, I think this point needs to be made too, Brian, that, like, if you would have told me before last season that the Lakers, remember, there was a Kevin O'Connor report that he said that they were angling for, or that they have their eyes on Luka. And I remember all the quote tweets, and I was probably one of the people who made some sarcastic, "I have my eyes on Halle Berry," like some kind of ridiculous, you know, reply.
How'd your wife feel about that? Here,
you know, I'm in trouble. But like, fortunately, she doesn't watch the show. I don't think she's tuned into a single show since I've started working here, which is wild. Unless she was on it. And then
she even could hang out with our wives.
I always tell this story. There was a dude. This was while I was still living in California. And Jen and I were out to lunch, and this guy goes, the guy who was serving us, you know, taking our order. He comes up and he goes like, I'm so sorry, but are you Anthony, the host of Locked On Lakers?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude, thank you very much for tuning in." Da, da, da. And so he's like holding his little notepad there, and he's taking our orders, and he goes, and I guess he was supposed to tell us about the sales, or like the off menu items that were there at that restaurant that day. And he go, and he like stops and he goes, "I'm so sorry. I'm supposed to tell you all of this other stuff, but I'm actually kind of nervous right now." And Jen goes, "Why? This dude's an idiot." So like, that's, she has never once cared about my career. But yeah, I don't know. The thing that, you know, I was saying there about Luka, and it makes like them potentially having these plans, these audacious plans for Giannis or Jokic or whatever. I guess you can kind of sort of have those plans when your track record, you know, over the last few years is LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Luka Doncic.
I mean, sort of. I mean, LeBron first and foremost wanted to be a Laker because he wanted to be in LA. Like, first, he did not join the org. Like, I think he takes pride in the Laker lineage. I think he takes pride in wearing the uniform. He obviously does not phone in games. Like, all of that is established and honest. First and foremost, this was about being in LA. Anthony Davis wanted to get the hell out of New Orleans, similar to the conversation we had earlier about Cleveland. Like, he needed somewhere to go. They share an agent. Like, there's also plenty of years where they didn't get people. Like, you know, you can talk about plenty of times where, you know, Paul George, the people who thought Kawhi Leonard was coming. There were several years where people were expecting team-ups with Kobe that didn't happen. You can become deluded if you really just believe in the idea of some sort of purple and gold manifest destiny. Like, that's where you can get yourself into trouble. And even the idea with Luka, like, you know, some wish casting that ended up happening, they were also to some degree sitting on their hands because, like we talked about earlier, I think they felt like they had reached an impasse with the LeBron and AD era, and they weren't going to abandon it because this is not an organization, for better or for worse, that starts over like from scratch. They don't do it, but they also didn't feel confident enough to invest, I think, any further in it. So to some degree, they were idling anyway. But if you want to, are you really going to look to take your chances on another GM seemingly losing his mind?
It's not a terrible strategy. I mean, look, but like the plan
only,
for like the
late, like Giannis played for New Orleans and Joe Dumars, because that's the GM who would lose his freaking mind.
Well, somebody's talking about Herb Jones in the chat. Like, that's your direction. But like, you talk about anything, like, yeah, the Lakers had their eye on Luka. Everybody has their eye on Luka, but it was to sign him as a free agent, as you know, were he to become available or were he to become disgruntled, the Lakers would be into the, like, of course, like everybody else, like, you know, and do that. It wasn't, we think they're going to trade him to us because they don't want to keep him. That's not what Kevin O'Connor was referring to. I do not believe, but I just, you know, I think there's enough to it where I agree with Andy. Like, you can't really look at this offseason. Anthony, you sort of said this, like, there haven't been a lot of things to do. It was not a offseason of gigantic trades. It's a lot of recalibrating for the new CBA. It was a terrible free agent class, so that doesn't get a lot of things moving either.
That'll be the case moving forward.
Yeah, but like 2026, more teams with cap space, more teams have started to create a cap sheet that works with the new setup. If the Lakers are still very conservative with what they do next offseason, then I think, you know, I think they absolutely want flexibility. I think that is the buzzword that they use. I think Rob Pelinka likes it. I think he always wants it. I also think it's his go-to CYA for when he doesn't actually get a lot of like big swings done. The Lakers were busy this summer in terms of snapping up what I think was an unexpected amount of guys on the buyout market, quality guys on the buyout market. And they did a great job doing that. But Rob at the trade deadline was promising, you know, bold moves and trades and this and that, whatever. And they haven't done any of that. Yeah. Fortunately, they haven't had to, which is great. But I think there's a little bit of that. Like you can always look like you have a plan by saying we're preserving flexibility. We have this master strategy. We know it's coming. We're doing this. We're going to make and the next move is coming. And that I think they like, and I think Rob Pelinka likes cap space.
Yeah.
And well, sometimes that's fine. I don't have a problem with it necessarily, but I think you are in a world where you are better off using cap space on smart signings for players that people would want to acquire if need be, rather than trying to make big ticket signings into your cap space in a world where you almost always have to overpay for those guys.
Yep. All right. Let's. I just looked at the time, and this is only part one of a two-part thing. So I'm going to go ahead and answer a couple of these super comments, and then we'll. I do
two part. The other part being our show, correct? Not a two-part Lakers Lounge.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hang tight, everybody. You got another 50 minutes coming up. But like I don't know. Maybe we'll have to expand on it on in part two on Locked On Lakers. But the Rob. Aspect
of do we this. Get the money if we answer the star question on our show?
I'll buy you guys $7 worth of Starbucks coffee. You can get a water. Yeah. let's all right. So I did get a couple super comments. Means I get to play the most important sound on the show. All right. So the first super comment here comes from Appetizers and Sushi. AD was annoyed playing for the Lakers at the end. See, it seems like LeBron is kind of annoyed playing for the Lakers at the end. I just think people get annoyed at the ends of things. Like I'll never forget, like, you know, I have a cousin from El Paso, and he and his family would visit every single summer, and it was the thing that I would look forward to every single summer. But by the time that trip was coming to a close, I was like, all right, I got to get these guys out of my house, you know? And I just kind of feel like ends of tenures at places, it's really, really, really rare that you get the Kobe 60 points against Utah thing, which, by the way,
your last five shows on Locked On Lakers were terrible.
I senioritis is a thing. Okay.
Not awful. Like it.
I wish I had five shows of senioritis. I was like, hey, I'm going to box. And David was like, hey, yesterday was your last show. So,
no.
But the Kobe, even the Kobe example here, there was some frustrations over the last couple seasons there after he tore his Achilles and they gave him 2 years, $48 million without having seen what he looks like after the Achilles. Like, it's really rare that there's an end of a career that just looks completely honky dory. I don't know if there are really any examples of it, you know, that weren't like untimely endings. So, but like, you know, the AD frustration there, there was frustrations with the Lakers internally with Anthony Davis, you know, that like I think that door swings both ways. Rabbit hole question here from there. What's that?
Yeah, he got a lot for $2 there. That was good. Curious.
Rabbit hole question.
Two and a half times T-Rab. More answer.
I guess I do have to now. All right. So I spoke for 6 minutes on that last
Jesus, we're never done with this show.
Yeah. If Bron doesn't have a no trade clause last season, do you think the Lakers would have traded him instead of AD to acquire Luka? I don't think the Mavericks wanted LeBron. I think Nico really, really wanted AD. But you guys have any thoughts on that?
I think they never would have done it. Even no trade clause or no trade clause. If LeBron did not want to go, I don't think they would do that to LeBron. Like, I think they obviously traded Anthony Davis without a heads up, and AD, I don't know if didn't get a sense that he was dying to leave LA, but as great as AD is, future Hall of Famer, top 75, yada, 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 there's another level to this. And LeBron is at a level that AD's not.
Yeah.
They would not sideswipe a guy like LeBron if he didn't want to leave. Like, I don't think they would do that to him with or without the no-trade clause.
Let's say, though, that each guy was, like, fine with it. Who would they have traded?
I think if both guys were okay with it.
Or they just decided they didn't care.
I think you can make an argument that
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis is younger, and he does a better job offsetting the issues that exist with Luka, or the weaknesses that exist with Luka, than LeBron does. LeBron does a lot of enhancing what Luka already brings to the table. This gets into some of the concerns that I have about Luka and Austin Reeves as part of a foundation. I think they have too many similarities and not enough offsetting what the other doesn't do. Anthony Davis actually offsets a lot of what you don't get from Luka.
Yeah.
And I say this, and saying that
he makes Luka better by being a lob threat.
Yeah.
You can run Luka AD sets. You can't run LeBron and Luka sets. We'll see if they're able to do it this year, but to this point, we haven't seen one really. So, yeah, to your point about the Lakers trading AD, Powell was in trade rumors the last 2-3 seasons of his career, and Powell did more for the Lakers than AD did.
Yep.
You know, so second best players get treated a little differently than the
even icon. Hall of Fame second best players.
Yeah. Well, how many organizations have Hall of Fame second best players?
During Showtime, they had like 4 or 5
guys coming off the bench. Coop came off the bench. All right. So that is going to do it here for this part A of the 2-part crossover conversation that we're having between the Lakers Lounge and Locked On Lakers. So I'm going to end this one here, hand over the reins to Brian and Andy, and continue that conversation over there. You can find Locked On Lakers at youtube.com/@LockedOnLakers, right? I would imagine. So,
I should probably know that.
I don't know where you are.
I don't know.
So, it's saved in my desktop.
Nobody's like typing in. Up. Nobody types in the URL to get to our show.
It just comes up. I don't know.
Really? I'm weird like that. I do type that up.
Well, no, but it's stored now in my search engine or whatever. You know,
yeah, like if somebody wants to find Locked On Lakers, they type Locked On Lakers. It comes up on Google, and then they go there. Mm.
Well,
nobody does the WWW thing anymore, Anthony.
It me, old person. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. Check out part 2 on Locked On Lakers here in a second.